Welcome to the Landlord Diaries, where we talk about midterm rentals and the opportunities behind them. We'll share landlord stories, talk about maximizing investment potential, and discuss how to live the very best landlord life. This podcast is proudly brought to you by Furnished Finder, the leader and largest online marketplace for midterm rentals. Remember to like and subscribe if you enjoy our content.
Hey, 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 it's your ladies from the Landlord Diaries, Kelly Bailey and Katie Lyon, coming to you from the marketing team of Furnished Finder as fellow midterm rental hosts. I'm going to take this quick minute as a reminder. If y'all see my, if you see the titles that we put, FF53 or FF10, those are there to help you be able to easily find them when you're searching the audio or YouTube platforms for that specific episode. So example, on YouTube, if you search The Landlord Diaries FF21, well, then you're going to get to that specific episode, which is really cool. Katie, we've got some great conversation today. Can you tell us about Pam Holt, please?
Yes. Today we get to talk to Pam. She is in the Chicago area, and Pam has taken her own house and turned it into a rental property, but not in the same way that a lot of others have, where they do room rentals or they, you know, split it or add an ADU. She actually says, hey, me and my family are gonna go travel for the summer. She rents out the whole thing. So it's a really interesting conversation. It's kind of a different way of house hacking, if you will. It's kind of house hacking when you don't have a duplex or an ADU or a basement with a separate entrance. She's like, no, you can take my whole place and I'm going to go to Europe or Africa or wherever she goes. So she has a really interesting perspective on it. And I think a lot of people can take the action items that she mentions here. So please enjoy. Don't forget to like this if you are enjoying it. And please, if you don't mind sharing this with a friend, if you think it's valuable. Kelly and I work so hard on this, and it's all to bring you guys the best information possible because midterm rentals are so valuable. So if you find it helpful and useful, please share it. And we would love your feedback as well. Thanks, guys.
Today we talk with Pam Holt, a Chicago native. Pam is a real estate broker, entrepreneur, mom, and short-term, midterm rental host for a $15,000 per month four-bedroom rental in the heart of Chicago. Currently, Pam's main goal is to help investors get up and going in the midterm rental space with her Happy Host Academy. Pam, thank you for being with us today. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
You are welcome. I can't wait for you to share your story with our audience. And let's start off with, you have a career background in visual design, architecture, residential real estate, and event planning. And how has that impacted your midterm rental hosting and your Happy Host coaching business? Let's start with your personal portfolio and how it affects the hosting, and then we'll eventually get to the Happy Host portion.
Okay. You know, it's funny because if you live long enough, you do a lot of different things, right? All of the things that I've done have kind of been centered around real estate. In addition to everything you mentioned, I'm also an attorney. So, you know, I did the design piece, and then I became a realtor, and then I became an attorney, and then I was thinking, you know, not sure where all this is going, but it all seems, I mean, it's all something I'm interested in, and I figured at some point it would all come together. And so when a friend suggested that I give, my house just to try it and see if I could have anyone come and stay, I thought that was a ridiculous suggestion. But it worked so well, you know, I was then a host. So it started to make everything else that I had done make sense, because now I knew, you know, how to have the right agreement, and I knew how to set it up from my design background. And as a realtor, I knew how to stage it. And so it's like everything that seemed kind of, you know, connected came together when I started hosting. And it's been fantastic since then.
And I think you have a property that has been a vacation rental in your family for 50 years. How has that yes. affected, you know, leading up to you being a host yourself?
I mean, you know, it's funny because we have had the property, and from time to time we've rented it, not on a regular basis, but because I'd done it before, I just never thought about doing it with my own home. And so I knew what it was supposed to look like. You know, I knew how many sets of towels and the dishes and the staging. I knew that part. It just didn't occur to me to use my home. I mean, I live in my home. So, you know, making that connection took a little coaxing from my friend.
Well, let's get into your home. That's your $15,000 per month rental is your personal home. So give us the details.
So it's where I live with my two daughters. And what the reason that we started this is we were planning a trip, and I knew I was going to be away for a week or so. I wasn't quite sure. I was going overseas and going to visit my daughter, who was doing some service work overseas. And so I took my friend's suggestion. I put the house out there and immediately started to get responses. And so that trip, that what I thought was going to be a short trip, turned into be almost a month long. And I continued to get rentals. I got longer and longer rentals. And by the time I came back, I was like, hey, this might be something. And because, you know, my daughters and I hadn't had a lot of opportunities to travel together. We were caring for family members, and we had a dog. And so we really hadn't taken any extensive trips. We hadn't traveled internationally. I started thinking, you know, maybe this is a way to finance our travel, sort of finance the travel while someone else paid for it. And so once I changed my mind, you know, said, and I shifted things around and stopped thinking of it as, you know, my personal, the emotional personal property, where, you know, my kids grew up and my dad lived, and started thinking of it as a moneymaker. That was it. We started traveling everywhere, and we were away for weeks at a time, and we spent all summers away, and guests are here in the house. I can run the whole thing from, you know, my phone, and it's been a fantastic way to generate a stream of income and travel with my family, and it's fantastic.
I love that. So, Pam, let's dig into kind of the logistics there for just a minute, because I know a lot of our travelers are medical professionals or people who are out on contracts, and they might be leaving their home for 3 to 6 months or sometimes longer. And oftentimes they have interest in renting out their own property to other travelers, but they don't really know where to start. And they're saying, well, but I have all my own stuff in
all my stuff,
house, yes. Right? Like, what do I, how, so how do you balance that? And what kind of action steps do you take so that it still remains your home, right? You don't want to feel like a stranger in your home, but at the same time, it's ready for guests and your personal belongings are, you know, protected and safe. And so someone else coming in also feels welcome and doesn't feel like, okay, I'm literally staying in someone's
right, in somebody's house, right?
House, and that's weird, right? Tell yes. us how you do that.
Well, the first thing I think is what I briefly touched on. You have to separate yourself from your space. You know, for me, it was more important to make memories with my daughters than it was to, you know, just sort of, I don't know, sit around my house with my stuff. You know, my stuff got a lot less important when I thought about, you know, we could be in Paris, you know, we could, you know, be on an island. And so making that disconnect with your stuff is where you start. And then after that, you've got to be okay with taking some of your stuff away. So some of your personal items, it's kind of just like when you're selling your home. You want to kind of depersonalize it a little bit just so that the person coming in can feel and imagine themselves in the space. And it's not just, you know, your family photos and your, you know, trophies and all of your stuff. It becomes more about them. They could see themselves there and not so much of you. So for anyone starting, I would say, first of all, remove super important items that you might have. Anything that's going to really hurt your feelings if something happens to it, I would take that out. For us, we took important papers and a few family mementos, and we took them to my mom's house. And so they kind of live there when we're out of town. And then, and this is critical, I think, for, you know, a lot of people. Start to declutter. Start to, just for your own peace of mind, start to get rid of a lot of stuff that you don't need. And so for me, I had like, I don't know, 45 pairs of shoes or something, or something insane, which I never wore. They were all so wildly uncomfortable. I never wore them. But because they were so new, I was like, God, I want to get rid of these shoes. But because I shifted my mind, I was like, well, I don't need 45 pairs of these 5-inch heels. I just need a few pair that I can take with me on my trips. And so, you know, I cleared out my closet, all these fancy dresses that I'm not sure why I have so many fancy dresses. I don't go that many fancy places, but all those things were donated. You know, I went through my kids' stuff and we just kind of pared down, which was just great. It just felt better, just generally speaking. But it also made it easier for us to then make space for guests. And we could even, right now what we do is we put our stuff in one closet. We have a locked owner's closet. And so the guests have room for their stuff. So the drawers in our bedrooms are empty. They have a walk-in closet for themselves. And our things remain in the house because it was just too much for us to take it anywhere else. But that stuff is in that closet. And there were some things. We had a lot of books. And so some of those books I left because guests really enjoyed them. But some of them I just boxed up and they're neatly stacked in our garage. And for right now, that's where they live. We'll see what happens with them later. We didn't feel comfortable enough getting rid of them just yet. So they're just parked there. They're almost on the way out, but they're still in the garage. And so that's how you start. You start to remove the items you don't absolutely need and don't absolutely love. And then, you know, you pare down and then you move to the next step. And that is the deep clean. You gotta do the deep clean, because, you know, it's kind of like that commercial where they say, you know, you've gone nose blind. It's kind of like you've gone, you know, like, I don't know, house blind or something, where you don't see the stuff that needs to be cleaned in your house necessarily. Not that you don't have a clean house, but there's, you know, other people are coming in. And so when your ceiling fans, you know, the blades are covered in dust, but you don't really pay attention to that because you're just turning on the switch of your ceiling fan. But, you know, that's not, you know, the biggest objection the guests have when they come to stay at other people's homes is that they just weren't clean. They weren't clean enough. And so you go through the whole process. You clean the air grates and you clean the baseboards and you do a deep clean.
Today's episode is proudly sponsored by Furnished Finder, the ultimate platform for hassle-free midterm rentals. Whether you're a seasoned landlord or just getting started, Furnished Finder has everything you need to find your next tenant. With Furnished Finder, you can say goodbye to booking fees, markups, and commissions, and hello to direct bookings. If you're ready to experience all the benefits renting your property for 30 days or more, head over to furnishedfinder.com where you can list your property for one low annual price. We make it easy to get started.
There's a book I heard about once. I'll have to look up the title so I can put it in the show notes. But a coworker was reading it and she said the summary about the decluttering was, when you look at an item, does it bring you joy or does it bring you something else? And if it brings you something else, do you really need that item? And if you don't really need that item, or if you don't haven't touched it in a while, then you're supposed to put it in a box and label it to be thrown away 6 months from now if you never open that box in the next 6 months. I thought it was a really simple concept.
Oh, I like the time frame because you can put it in a box and it's still, you know, in that box 3 years later. And right. So, you know, might as well have gotten rid of it then.
Yep, just like throwing out stuff in the fridge. Got to label it sometimes. Well, let's wrap up this part of the conversation about your personal portfolio and home that's your short-term, mid-term rental. What type of monthly guests have you found come and stay in your home?
Well, I get a lot of business travelers. and I get unrelated colleagues who travel together, and they come in town for extended periods of time, either for trade shows or for projects that they're working on, or work-related kinds of things, where they could be in a hotel, but they want the camaraderie of gathering together at the end of the day and kind of debriefing, and they want to be able to cook. And even though they don't make a whole lot more than pizza, it looks like, when I come back and see the trash, but they like the idea of it. And I think they sort of use it as a team building kind of experience, rather than everybody, you know, going back to their, you know, hotel rooms at the end and not team building. So I think it works really well there. I also get families, and this one I feel really, really proud to be able to serve. I have families who come in town to the major hospitals that are in Chicago. And they have a family member who is going to undergo a procedure. That person may or may not be able to travel right away, may have to recuperate for some amount of time before they go back to their home. The whole family can come and stay with them and support them, both when they're in the hospital and also when they're back and before they can go home. So that one always, I feel really good to be able to help those families, because, you know, it's already a tough situation for them. And if they're in a hotel and it's cold and it's kind of bland and it's kind of, you know, not personal and not warm and friendly, you know, I think it makes a tough situation maybe even not so great. So
when my sister was young, she had to go one state over to Mayo Clinic to have a procedure done. And these types of amenities didn't exist then, right? So my parents took her up and they stayed in a hotel and no one got good sleep. My brother and I were back one state away with my grandparents. We were super worried about her. She actually ended up slipping in the bathtub and like hitting her head like a couple days before the, so it just, it added this level of stress that now like hospitality has kind of taken us to this next level, where we always think about hospitality as like, oh, someone's going on a vacation, how can I make it better for them? But
right.
Really, hospitality is anything that you can do to make someone else's life easier, right? Whether it's a traveling medical professional or these families that are traveling for medical needs, or maybe it's someone who's coming in to do a really, really hard job for a couple of months and they need a good place to sleep.
Yeah.
There's all those levels of hospitality. And I think it's so impressive that as hosts, we're able to serve all of those different needs, because they do matter and they do impact everyone's lives in different forms.
Yeah, I think it's real tough to be, especially those traveling for work, it's hard to be kind of uprooted for this temporary amount of time if you're not in a space that allows you to relax and kind of, you know, unwind. And, you know, I have, my place is pet friendly, so you can bring your pet, so you're not away from your pet for an extended amount of time. And it's you can bring the whole rest of the family, and it becomes, I think, a more bearable kind of situation. And I'm proud of that.
Good. Well, we've made it to the Happy Host Academy. So you not only have been a real estate agent for many, many years, you have also jumped into the hosting world and decided, you know what? There is an opportunity here to help others get their midterm rental business you know, off to a great start. And I think that your main goal is to help them to see how easy and simple it is to start your own hosting business, especially for women or retirees that, you know, are looking for their next opportunity. So tell us what led you to start Happy Host Academy.
You know, I was so thrilled to find hosting as a stream of income. You know, I thought, oh, I can make a few dollars, but you know, I can replace my income as a realtor by hosting. And understand, I only host during the months that my daughter is out of school, because we live here. So, you know, summers, sometimes a week or two at Christmas holidays, you know, spring break, but not year long because we live here. And so it is a very viable source of income. And my whole career, I tried to help women in particular with their investments to real estate purchases, whether it's primary home or investment property. And it was great. But I thought, wow, how can I reach a broader audience? How can I share this, find that I have with more women? And so I started a community for women that teaches them to start out with their primary residence or secondary residence if they have a second home or vacation home, and really start from the beginning, because there's always a lot of people are sort of scared and leery about whether this is a good idea, whether this is a good idea for them in their home, what's going to look like, is it weird?
I'm excited to get into all those. I have a whole list of your teaser topics from your academy.
Yes, all that. And so I try to walk everyone through that. It's very hands-on. I'm in there one-on-one, working with folks to get their space ready and get them up and launched. So far, they love the idea of doing the midterm rentals, the travel professionals, because there's not as much turnover. So that, the short-term rental turnover, it can be pretty hectic. And so as a new host, if you can get a midterm rental for 3 months, it's an easier foray into hosting. So they love it. So they're all, the women who've gone through, can't wait to get on Furnished Finders and put their spaces up. And it has been immediate. The success has been immediate for them. Like the next day, they have inquiries, and they've just been thrilled. It's been great.
Oh, we love to hear it. That's why we keep doing what we're doing. So, all right, let's dive into some of these teaser topics from your academy, as Kelly alluded to. So let's talk first about the weird objection. What? Tell us what this means.
I mean, someone you don't know is going to potentially sleep in your bed. So, that's weird, or it can be weird. I think no matter how you look at it, it's kind of weird. And so I think right there, that stops a lot of people from considering hosting in their home. In fact, my sister, that's why we haven't rented our vacation home a whole lot, because that one barrier. And I told her, I was like, with one stay, I can buy you a new mattress. I will buy you a new custom bed. You can get all new linens just from one rental stay. And I don't know, that starts to make the wheels turn. And I think, maybe not as weird as I once thought.
Well, and I mean, the mattress can have two complete encasements on it. So it's like you could have your own sheets and you could have like the double protected mattress as well. So I'm with you. It doesn't have to be weird. And like when you look at the facts, you're like, how many people have slept in that hotel bed you were staying in?
It's
like,
right.
We share spaces all the time with couches and in like our banks or, sitting on a park bench. It's like it's an interesting concept.
But you know what? Mm-hmm. I don't find people doing that math because, of course, if you think about a hotel bed, of course, 100 times more people are going to go through there. But I show in the academy, here's the first layer that you put on the mattress. Here's the second layer. Good. Here's what you put on here. And so you're like, 4 layers away from the actual mattress. That's pretty safe.
Yeah. I always feel weird when I have like a house sitter come to stay with our pets when we're out of town. And I'm like, so the master has fresh sheets and stuff, but if you want to sleep in the guest bed, that's totally fine. But then I'm like, well, no, like that's where the dogs always sleep. So it's, nobody else I feel like ever thinks it's weird except you, because it's your bed.
Right. Yep. That's it. And that's part of, separating yourself from your space. So, definitely. Once you do that, you're like, sleep there, sleep on a couch, whatever you want.
I love the second objection that you get, which is the unlocking the potential of your home and the space. So some people think, I just don't have enough space to make my property work for me or be able to host guests. And you have some really cool advice there.
Hey, landlords, are you ready to level up your rental game and simplify your midterm rental business? Well, get ready to meet your new best friend, KeyCheck. KeyCheck is your all-in-one solution for stress-free property management. With tenant-paid screenings, online rent payment processing, custom lease creation, and a suite of incredible landlord tools, you'll wonder how you ever lived without it. No more chasing down checks or sifting through piles of applications. KeyCheck helps you organize and manage all things landlording in a simple and efficient way. Make landlord life a breeze with KeyCheck, the game changer for modern property owners. Visit KeyCheck.com to unlock the power of stress-free property management and take your rental business to new heights.
Well, there's a couple of ways to look at it. Some people think their home, their space is not going to be attractive, not going to be interesting. The location's not even interesting. But you have to think, not everybody is coming to a destination for the bars and the restaurants like we talked about. Some people are coming for the hospitals and the schools. I get a lot of people who come in town because their college students go to one of the universities nearby, and they want to be together as a family, not have the kid in the dorm room and them in the house. They want to all come together and spend that time as a family. So it's important to not think of your location as undesirable. Think of why you're there. And if you're there for some reason, you're there because it's close to public transportation, or it's walking distance from the greatest park in the world, or you know, you can get to the airport in 10 minutes. If that's important to you, then that's potentially important to someone else. So that's one part of it. The other part is people think they have to have these luxurious, you know, castles and our chalets and, you know, I have a house, just a house where I live here with my kids and my dog. And, you know, the most guests want to stay in a place like that, or they would go to a hotel. They know that, you know, it's going to be an authentic experience. And if it's not a resort, you know, that wasn't what they expected in the first place. So I would, again, think about who's coming to stay. You know, what are they looking for? Not, you got to kind of get out of your own head about it, you know, and make it more about them and their experience and what you can do to make your space comfortable for them.
And in our intro call, I really loved how you even dove in a little bit further, like examples. I have a basement, but it doesn't have a kitchen. And you had some great advice for like what you can do to make your space into a home without having to put a large remodel in.
Right. Okay. That's the second thing. People think they have to have, you know, a full second kitchen. And a lot of people who are traveling aren't coming there to your home to make, you know, Thanksgiving dinner. They're coming there to work. They're professionals. You know, they are in and out of your space. They're kind of, a lot of times, they're kind of just sleeping there. And so if you're able to have a cooktop, maybe a mini fridge, you know, maybe those electric cooktop things, you know, for someone who wants to make some eggs in the morning or something, you don't have to go all out with some grand chef's kitchen when someone's really just looking for, you know, a toaster oven. So don't let that stop you. If you have a basement that's unused or underutilized, you know, that could be a moneymaker for you. That could be, you know, your space that you use for midterm rental rather than use it just as a place where you store your boxes, you know?
I think this is really important because when people think about a rental property, a lot of times they think about a themed property with all the amenities and a pool and a hot tub and a pickleball court. And
that's nice. It's
so nice. And that hits to a certain target market, right? A certain avatar. But we're not always going after that and trying to serve that customer profile, right? So what does the traveler look like for you? Like, for example, Kelly's properties are much more family oriented. I'd say like 2, 3, 4 people, right, Kelly? Like they want comfort. They want a little space. They want a yard. Mine are more for like, you know, a solo traveler who's a working professional. And you kind of have to put yourself in the shoes of that traveler and think, okay, what do they want? What do they need? And how can I accommodate that? And it's not always about quantity. It's about having really good quality of items. And how can you share that? When Kelly and I were at Bigger Pockets, I met a gentleman who had an outstanding, he had like 30 properties that he had gotten to in a short period of time. And I was like, how are you doing this? And he goes, well, it's easy. I'm not going over the top. I'm keeping them simple. But people rent my houses when they want to go visit their grandma or when they're, you know, going on a work trip. Or he's like, they're not crazy. They're very nice and they're welcoming and they're comfortable, but they're not your typical vacation property. So I feel like that is, like you're saying, something to definitely remember.
Yes. And I think you have to, I'll tell you a story. You have to know who's coming to stay with you so that you can best support them. So when I first started doing this, I mean, I have a pretty large house. I live a block from the lake. I thought, okay, I'm going to have families. They're going to come to town. They're going to go to the beach. I'm going to get some beach chairs and blow up things and beach towels. It's going to be great. And then I started getting all of these business travelers. And I was like, hey, wait a minute. You're not going to the beach. You know, you don't even care about the beach. What you want is you want to be able to make pizzas in the oven, frozen pizzas. You want to have, you know, beer glasses because you want to have a lot of beer. And what you don't want, and this was a big mistake that I made. I thought I would have twin beds in some of my smaller bedrooms because then I could get, you know, more kids and stuff. But unrelated colleagues do not want to share a room with, you know, the guy that works in the cubicle next to them. So I took those out and I put in queen size beds. So now everybody has their own bedroom, a private space. One group will share two bedrooms share a bath, but the others have private ensuite baths. And so, you know, the privacy is maintained, and that's what's been working. That's really, that's what sells my home.
I think this is a great roundtable discussion, Katie, and we won't live here too long, but let's thank you for sharing your example of how you took a space and kind of changed it depending on what your guests needed. And then the space objection, I'm sure both Katie and I have examples as well. So I'm going to share two things. One, if you want to hear another great episode, episode 51, Barry shares how he had a fourth bedroom that was full of just stuff that they were storing. And they decided, you know what, rather than downsizing with a high interest rate and having to pay the same price that we'd get to sell our home right now, not necessarily, but for something new, right? It's like, it didn't make sense. It was like, how do we go ahead and just make our home work as is, as an investment? And so he started, he took that fourth bedroom and turned it into an ADU. So a really cool story there. My example is I've got a couple, but I'll just give one. We had an ADU in the backyard of one of our homes. So our home in Temple has a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, has an ADU in the back. Well, for about a year, it was unfurnished because an insurance company came in and said, hey, we need your space. I said, I can have it furnished by this date. They said, can we have it 4 days from now and we'll furnish it? I'm like, done. Sounds great. Court came in, furnished it. But we had already had furniture from another property that we were going to move over to this property because our guests at our other property said, we love it so much here that we want to stay longer. So can we have our stuff rather than your stuff? And so we moved all of that stuff out. So my space objection was, I didn't want to pay for a storage unit. And we did get a storage unit, but we got the smallest one, right? So that we didn't have to waste a bunch of money on a storage unit. Well, we ended up using that ADU in the backyard as a storage unit instead for like a whole almost 6 months, something like that. And when you start thinking through it, we could have made $1,400 per month on the ADU versus storing stuff in there for free, where I think our storage unit was like less than $100 per month. So yeah, that was a learning lesson because I thought I can't rent this ADU until it has this beautiful, amazing sidewalk that goes to it on the left side of the driveway. It needs like the most glamorous lighting so that it can be an experience. But that wasn't what it needed. It needed some stepping stones to safely get to. And honestly, we even started with just the grass. And then as rainy season came in, we're like, we definitely need to add some stepping stones. So we've added some stepping stones now. And we could have been renting it from the very beginning. And it was all a great experience and learning lesson. But that was like a space objection for us, is we thought it had to be perfect. And just as we're saying, it doesn't.
Yeah, I thought my house had to be perfect too. And I almost didn't rent it because, like I said, I had a dog and my floors, my hardwood floors were scratched up. And even though, you know, nobody else ever noticed the scratches, I was like, this is awful. I can't do it. But I did it anyway. And nobody said, everybody says, oh, everything is great. You know, no one even paid any attention because they weren't there to inspect my floors. You know, they weren't that person. They were coming to enjoy their experience. And it wasn't about my floors. I since had my floors redone. I shouldn't have, because nobody cares. I'm the only one who cares. It costs a lot to do that. So
yep.
I would say get started. Get started and then use your rental income to make the small improvements that you think your guest would enjoy. And that's it. I wouldn't want to see people come out of pocket a whole lot, at least certainly in the beginning. Wait until you get some income coming in and have that income pay for whatever else you think you need to do, even if it is your floors.
Yeah. One of our properties is a 2-bed, 2-bath condo, and it needed just the tiniest facelift. And honestly, the furniture did most of it. But it's, you know, a little, it's a little dated. You've got the oak cabinets and some gold hardware and stuff. And I bought a new faucet for the kitchen, and I bought a couple other small things. And we did like change out the cabinet hardware right away. And we changed out a light in the kitchen because those just made such a, and it made such a big difference. But I have these few other items that, you know, my family and I, we went and we furnished the property, and my brother is the handyman on our team. And I said, okay, like, we're out of steam. We're out of time. Like, you can do this next weekend, right? We have not had a single day of vacancy since then. So the faucet I bought, the other light fixtures I bought, like all these things I bought, we have like long, there's a sliding glass door, and you know, the long plastic blinds, they have broken. And I told
always.
The new tenants moving in, I told the new tenants, I said, I've ordered the new ones. My brother will come put them in. And they're like, no worries. Like, if you want to do it after we move out, it's not bothering us. So I literally have all this stuff that to me needs to be done, and no one else even notices. So it's just, I'm like, it's just amazing, because what they care about is the location. How safe is it? Is it lit? What's the entry like? How accessible is it? How comfortable are the beds? Like, is there somewhere for my pet? They don't mind that the kitchen sink is outdated. They don't care. They want to know, is there a full-size fridge for, because it holds multiple people there? Is there a dishwasher? Like, they care about that type of stuff. So it's definitely interesting as you learn that when you go along.
Yeah.
So this leads perfectly into the decor conversation. One of the things that to be able to get up and going right away and start getting your inquiries the day you post it is how you decorate your space. And your advice is to tell your personal story through your decorating. So what advice do you give to your students on that topic?
I mean, I tell them, because a lot of people are, you know, super insecure on this topic. And so I say, you know, what are the things that you like? What's interesting about you? And for my family and for us, I mean, it's about our travels. That's That's the most interesting thing. And so a lot of the accessories and the things that we have around the house are from places that we've been. And so, you know, they all have their own story. But when I string our story of those travels together in my listings description, you know, it's interesting because I've had people say, you know, I'll list some of the places we've been, or like, when you're staying in our home, we're going to this location. And they've been like, oh, I've been there, and you've got to go this place, and that place. And, you know, you're starting a conversation at that point. And so you're creating trust, and you're creating a relationship that started through your stuff, you know, through interest in your stuff. And so a lot of people think, well, you know, I don't have interesting stuff. But it only takes 3 items to make a collection. And so if you have 3 vintage tennis rackets and you frame them, you know, over a bed or something, and they, you know, they make people who see them start to think, yeah, you know, I used to play tennis, or I had a racket that looked like that, you know, a long time ago. And it builds a connection, and it's, and you may not think it's wildly interesting, and maybe it's not, you know, the most interesting thing you've ever thought of. But when you start to, you know, do those kinds of things in different rooms, people have stuff to look at. It doesn't have to be super expensive. In fact, it probably shouldn't be super expensive. But it can be a part of your story. So you're like, ah, hey, I'm a tennis pro, and I started with this tennis racket, you know, 35 years ago. That's interesting. And so that's what I tell people. Start with them and what they think makes them interesting.
I love that. You're making me think of a wall I saw, I think it was in Nashville, Tennessee, that really just inspired me to potentially do a similar wall one day, because Austin being the music capital, right? It was a wall of abandoned instruments that they had painted, like the whole wall. It was a 2-tone wall. It had one color on the bottom, and it had all the instruments above it spread out very nicely that they had painted white. And it was just a cool accent, because I think that's a great way to incorporate a theme into your style as well, is why is someone coming to your area? What draws them to Chicago, right? Or what draws them to Austin? And having like Texas-type art, it would be a good theme for our area, right? So one of mine is a Texas-style room. Most of mine are beach-style houses, because I love to relax and feel like I'm at the beach. So that's what we give our guests experience most of the time.
I love it. Yeah, I've seen people do, you know, camera collections, books. Like, we had a lot of books. We have a whole library full of books, which I was like, oh, this is before I boxed those up. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to leave these bookcases here. This is just what it is. But I didn't realize that guests would come and they would look at the books. And so one person said, you know, I'm right in the middle of this book that you had. You know, can I take it? I'll send it back to you. And I was like, this is great. They're like, I'll leave you a book in place of it. And I was like, oh, we, you know, look at us. We've got a book club, you know. And so, you know, and I've had people write me notes, you know, I read one of the books, you know, fascinating collection. I wish I could sit down and talk to you about these books. It's just, you know, books. It's just stuff that we had that we enjoyed, and someone else, you know, may enjoy it in the same way.
And it doesn't have to be big things, right? Like, it can be very little. It can be just, what is your aesthetic, or what resonates with you? And does that resonate with the people who you're trying to attract your property to, right?
Episode 40 with Erin Spradlin, she dives into the science of the mind of like the corporate traveler, like a digital nomad or a remote worker. And part of that is it's a higher education level. So she advises to have books and things of that nature, because that's the type of traveler you're reaching, is someone with a higher education level a lot of time that wants to read books in their downtime. And that's part of their relaxation process.
I like it.
Yeah. Okay, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you were setting up an Amazon store with decor tips. Is that in the works? Is it live? And when it is live, we want to know about it so we can put it in the show notes.
Okay, so I get a lot of questions because, again, if you haven't started, you don't know necessarily where to start. And so you're like, I don't know, what coffee pots should I get? And what, you know, do I need an iron? What iron should I get? And a lot of little questions like that. And so I was like, okay, let's just remove this as an obstacle. Let me just put, make a list of all the things that you must have, and then a list that are extras, you know, things you might have or things you might have once you start getting some income in and somebody else pays for it, and just link directly to what I recommend. And if you want to do this, you don't want to spend a whole lot of time, you know, doing your own research, doing your own shopping, do people shop in door-to-door these days? Do they go out and do it?
I try not to.
I try not to also. But anyway, these just link directly to it, you know, and it's there for you. It's done. It's the things that you need, so you don't have to think about, do I need this, do I need that? And you can go for it. And so that's available. It's available on my website. I'm adding to it as I go. And if I were getting started, I would start there because it's easy. And that's what we want.
All right, let's talk about the next topic you hit on, which is safety.
Safety is a big, initially a big obstacle for a lot of people. They're concerned that, especially for those who welcome guests and they're still in the home. So room rentals, you know, basement rentals where there may or may not be a very definite separation between the guest space and their space. And so, you know, we go through in our academy, the vetting process and, what to look for and the conversations and questions that you might have with a potential guest so that you can kind of, they get a sense of you, you get a sense of them. If it doesn't feel right for whatever reason, you know, you don't have to move forward with that rental. But I will say to people that there's a very, very, very low incident of unsafe situations that come up in home sharing. I think whatever you might hear about it are the sensationalized activities that have happened. But on a regular day-to-day basis, people are not often coming to your home to, tear it up, go through your things,
Especially in the midterm rental space where you're doing a screening, you're doing a check to make sure that they are who they say they are, that they're going to be a good fit for your home. And you have that deposit typically as well, or some sort of insurance to make sure that they have some buy-in as well to make sure that they're going to take care of your property and treat it like their space also.
Right. And the lawyer in me will not be able to say, strongly enough, have an agreement. Here are the boundaries and, here's the expectations. You agree, I agree. There it is. Make it clear.
And correct me if I'm wrong. Do you teach your students to use our sister site, KeyCheck? Do you personally use KeyCheck?
I do. They use, I think they're really comforted by the security that they feel from using someone else beyond their own vetting questions to figure out whether the fit is right and whether the people are who they say they are.
All right. Next thing, the phone is your office. So talk to us about that, because I know long distance management is something I've become very familiar with from a firsthand basis. And sometimes I wish I could be away from my phone a little bit more, but tell us a little bit about that and what you teach your students.
I like to give them the example that I conduct a lot of business from a lawn chair or a, beach with a cocktail, because I can, from my phone, I can adjust the heat. I can change the code on the doors. I can turn the lights on and off. I can, if need be, I can contact my handyman and have someone else other than me go over and take care of whatever is necessary. You don't have to, you could opt for a management company, and then, certainly they will take care of those kinds of things. You will pay them handsomely. Or you can do those kinds of things as long as you have, I think, a clear understanding of what you're going to be responsible for and what the guest is responsible for. And you guys have done, you know, kind of gone through the property and everybody knows what's what. The rest, kind of the technical things, the payment even, all of that can be handled from your phone. And you can, you know, I'm always in touch with guests. You know, we can message back and forth. You know, it's not like, they move in, I go away, and that's it. We are never in touch again. Good luck. I hope it all works out. You know, I'm still involved, and I'm still there for whatever they need.
I think we've made it to our last part of the conversation here is, we've gotten into a lot of great detail on the important aspects of the midterm rental space. Like, is it weird? Is there space that I'm not utilizing properly that could be a potential source of income for me? How decoration, safety, you know, how to run your business directly from your phone from anywhere in the world. So let's wrap up with, you know, your main focus is to help people get started. So how do you summarize that in a few steps? Like, what's the bullet point version of what people need in your mind to just get started in the midterm rental space?
I would say focus on the declutter and the deep clean. And then, you know, maybe I wouldn't recommend going out and spending a whole bunch of money on, you know, all new everything. I don't think anybody expects that, and there's just no reason to do it right out the gate. So I would make sure I had the basic kinds of amenities that someone who's coming, you know, you've evaluated your guests, so you know who's coming, and, you anticipate the things that they need, have those things, and get started. You got to get started. If you hesitate, if you contemplate, if you, you know, procrastinate, then, you know, you never start. So I would start and iterate and, you know, and tweak and get better and listen to the reviews and listen, communicate with your guest. You know, what else do they need? They need more towels? Get some more towels, make them happy. And they will leave, you know, raving reviews and, and they'll come again. I have guests that come every year because they come to the same conference. And so, you know, I've got bookings, you know, 4 years from now. And so unless we get COVID again, yeah, I'm all good. And so when you make that kind of impression on a guest and they know that you care about them, of course they're going to come back.
Katie and I have summarized, you know, just from a Furnish Finder perspective, our goal is to give the midterm rental tools you need to get started in space, right? So we've come up with 5 steps just to understand how the midterm rental process works and jump in and get started. So hopefully you guys can get some encouragement here and really just jump in. If you have any questions, we would love to hear about it on the show notes on YouTube or the comment section on YouTube, I mean. And Pam, thank you so much for being with us. How would you like for guests to or listeners to connect with you? And I think you've got free options for your academy as well as some monthly options. So why don't you go ahead and tell them about where to connect with you.
You can find me at pamholt.com. I tried to make it easy. It's PAMHOLT. And there you can find, you'll find the store. And so, you know, I want them to succeed. And so I'm happy to literally get in their home and give them suggestions on what I think will make a difference. Yeah, it's fun.
Well, thanks for tuning in today, guys. We'll see you next week. Have a good week, everyone. Bye.
Bye.